Are there angelic humans? Is the search for the angelic a call from your soul to fulfill an interconnectedness that knows no physical bounds? We're going to find out the answers to those and other questions today as we talk with my guest, the author of The Call, Awakening the Human Angelic, the Angelic Human. And her name is Toni Sarraw. Stay with us.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Oh. Understanding, that's what it's about here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us here. And I promised you over the last few weeks that we were going to share with you a special event that's coming up next Saturday at 3 o'clock. And it involves toll-free numbers. We'll tell you about it at the end of the program. I'm very excited about it. It is something that it's the next movement on the part of the universe for this radio program. And it's a fantastic event that we're really looking forward to. So we want you to stay tuned. We'll be telling you more about that. Right now we're going to talk with Toni Elizabeth Sarraw. And I'm going to take a shot here and say it's Petronovich?
Petronovich, you're really close. That was very good, Richard.
That's probably the best I've ever gotten with a name that was very difficult to spell, let alone read. It's good to have
you. When I was a child, my friends used to call my mother Mrs. Tunafish.
Oh, my.
Because they couldn't say her last name. It was funny.
Well, we are certainly thankful that you are here, and we are here to find out about the call. What this is about. And as this program has progressed forward in the last 6 months, we've dealt with all kinds of different subjects, dealing with new paradigms, new ideas and beliefs that will help people to move forward in their lives. And we want to find out from you about these particular elements, angelic humans, as well as you have photographs of and have and correct me if I'm wrong, communication with or communication through you of light orbs. And we'll get the definition of those in just a little bit. I've heard of indigo children, that type of thing. What is the difference or similarity between the indigo children, or any other term I might come up with, and angelic humans?
Okay, well, first of all, let's define the idea of a human angel. Because there's humans and then there are angels. And humans are commonly known as, you know, Homo sapiens, the wise man. And though a lot of people see angels painted and pictures, et cetera, through the legends and stories and myths of all of the religions as beings with wings, meaning that they can fly, they can appear in different places, what the word angel actually means is messenger. So when I'm talking in my book, The Call, about human angels, what I'm saying is here you have the wise man who is accessing his or her message. So rather than humans or angels belonging to a specific kingdom, I'm saying that it's the human's opportunity to ascertain what message he or she is bringing to the earth. So when someone acknowledges him or herself as an angelic human, what he or she is saying is, I recognize that I am bringing a message to earth through the life that I live. I willingly bring this message, and I will place my attention and my intention on the message I feel in my heart. So that is what The Call is asking of people who feel the coding within their own DNA is, as I call it, awakening. The indigo, or the crystal children, or the children from Oz, the new children I like to call them because there's so many different names that are being given to them now, come into this world with this awareness already present within them. It is not something that needs to be awakened. They come with their message first and foremost in their mind. And because our acculturation has created a society that is very logical and linear and multitasking, they don't fit because it requires you to be focused and one-pointed and requires you to be outside the norm of what is here if you're going to bring a message that's going to create a new paradigm.
Let's talk about the message. Is it one single message, or are there a series of, forgive me, 10 commandments or something of this nature? What is this message that is being brought across?
Well, each person has a different way of displaying the message, mm-hmm. and yet if you want to go to the bottom line of it, it is about love in oneness. And though those words sound very nice and very politically correct in the metaphysical world, what love is wanting the best for the other being, despite what your conditioned thoughts about that being might be. And oneness includes everything. A friend of mine and I were talking this morning about oneness, and we were laughing about the sacredness that is given to the word as though people don't really understand what it means. It's as though people say, yes, oneness, God, we're all connected. That means we are all connected. From the monster in Sigourney Weaver's Alien movies to the people in Iraq to your neighbor next door and your beloved child, we are all one. And we are sharing a mutual consciousness. And within that is our invitation to love each and every piece of that, knowing that it is source material. It is coming from source consciousness, using the word source instead of God, mm-hmm. however you want to name it. So the message itself, if you want to take away all of the different ways that it manifests itself, is to realize the oneness and to love all aspects of it.
So tell me,
that is really what is coming forth now with these children.
Okay. So tell me, what's different from this message than the messages that we've received down through the course of human history?
Not a lot, actually, except that we're becoming more aware. It's more like Homo sapiens sapiens, aware of the fact that we're aware of ourselves. And in that, our own evolution is transforming us into beings who can actually, that's one of the reasons the light orbs are so exciting. And boy, I like to place a little bit of attention and prominence about talking about them, because realizing that our visual spectrum is shifting to the point where we can actually see what some people call beyond the veil, though there's really no veil there. It's just a different frequency, a different wavelength. We're actually becoming less, quote unquote, physical and more etheric. So the message is basically the same, except that there's a difference in the way that we receive it, and there's a difference in the way that we express it, because we're beginning to become more aware of our oneness rather than the separation.
I think that on a physical level, I think a lot of people are beginning to realize that too, and that we do affect the lives of the people around us, and that there is some real truth to the phrase that I am my brother's keeper. To that extent, every time that we make a shift or change in our lives, whatever that shift or change be, we affect the lives of the people around us. However,
exactly.
We are not responsible for the way in which they react, if you will, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. our changes. We're only responsible for our changes and how we behave, as it were.
Exactly.
Is that a fair statement?
Yes, right. And I like to call it a response. We're responsible, and there's the word responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We're responsible for how we respond rather than react, because if you take the words apart, react is to act again.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody does something and we act again. We react to it rather than respond responsibly from mm-hmm. a state of love and compassion and the awareness that we are one. And sometimes if we use the term a hologram, because people are kind of familiar in our day and age with holograms,
mm-hmm.
that if the hologram is affected in one piece, then it's affected throughout all of the pieces of the hologram. So if we see our consciousness in the oneness as a hologram, every time one piece of that hologram shifts or makes a change or, you know, does anything that affects itself, it affects the whole hologram.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
that's how remote healing works.
That's something we'll talk about as well as we continue here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. I thank you very much for joining us on the program. Tell Me Your Story is the name, and we're talking with Toni Elizabeth Sarah. She has a website, sacredspaces.com, sacredspaces.com.
And Sacred Spaces, I'm sorry, it's sacredspaceswa.com.
W-A. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
For Washington. Yeah.
I beg you. Okay, misread that. All right. SacredSpacesWA.com. You can go there and check out the book. And you also have a CD entitled DNA Reawakening, which is a companion, if you will, to the book The Call. So they work hand in hand to help people to awaken that part of themselves, that angelic human part of themselves.
Yes, because our DNA responds to sound. It responds to, and this is scientific evidence that I've done a lot of research with. It's just, it's absolutely wonderful when we talk about ourselves being creators, that we can create what we desire, and then you see scientific experiments that can actually prove that. Our words, the tone of our voice in the regular grammar structure that we're used to speaking, is what tells our DNA what to do. So when we express sound, and that's what the DNA Reawakening CD does, you say the words after me, you reawaken the DNA, the science is calling it junk DNA, I like to call it potential DNA, the DNA that doesn't code for proteins is simply sitting there, and that's like 97% of our protein, or our, pardon me, of our DNA, it's just sitting there, it's non-coding, and it's waiting for instructions, and we can give it instructions, and then what happens is that all of the clairpowers, the clairsentience, the clairaudience, etc., that people want to access begin to awaken, and then we really can communicate multidimensionally much easier.
You know, this is rather interesting because what you're describing is basically, yes, sound, but I would take it to another level because I've been in broadcasting for so many years and say, yes, sound, but maybe more precisely vibration.
Right, exactly, and that's what sound is vibration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, I agree completely.
So
yes.
What you're doing is you're sort of tuning the various elements of the DNA code to carry out a particular task or become a particular thing, i.e. evolution.
Yes, I agree.
Interesting.
You're right, yes.
Tell me how the light, first of all, tell me what is or are the light orbs?
Well, when I asked them that, the first thing they told me was that they said, we are the guardians of your soul. And since then, that was in 2004, since then, which was last month, they told me, we are the guardians of your love. And so I asked them for more information about that and what I got. And I posted a YouTube on the YouTube.com explaining this and also doing a transmission from them about this. And what they're telling us is that we have the capacity to love that is infinite, that is source's capacity for love. And yet, though we say we want it, and we say that that's what we really desire more than anything, what we really place attention on during our lives is our day-to-day life. Our getting up in the morning, our going to work, our taking care of our house, our taking care of our children, our wanting a new car, our paying the mortgage, all of these things distract us and take our attention away from the true capacity we have, and that this is like a treasure to them, and that they are guarding the treasure of our capacity to love, so that when we awaken to that capacity, then the top comes off the treasure chest, as they said, and we can begin to realize that that is really the place we want to place our attention, is on our capacity to love. Now, physically, if you want to call it that, what they are plasma-type conscious beings that fluoresce with light. That's how we can see them. And some people say, well, that means you have to take a picture with a digital camera that has a flash and then they fluoresce. And that's not true. That assists you in seeing them, but I've seen them with my naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many, many people sending me pictures that were taken without flashes. People take them in the daylight with regular old standard film cameras. So it's more about are allowing ourselves the ability to expand our visual spectrum. Because as we know, as we were taught in school, the visual spectrum of light is enormous, and we have this little tiny half-inch square in the middle of it that we can actually use to see the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you expand that a little bit more, what it means is that you are actually seeing higher vibrations, faster frequencies of light. And that's how we see the orbs, because their frequency of light is faster than our physical world. And
now,
they have been here right along. It's just that now we're beginning to see them.
Okay. And I would venture I can't yet include myself into that, but nonetheless, we are beginning to see them because we're giving our DNA a new instructions to allow us to see them?
Yes, and even if we don't consciously give our DNA that instruction. You know the 100th monkey story?
Yes.
Okay. It's sort of like that. The more of us who do the DNA reawakening, and it doesn't just have to be mine, there's a lot of people doing this work, the more people who give their DNA instructions to awaken that encoded message, the more people who don't give their DNA the instructions have the capacity through the hologram to also do the same thing. And somebody once told me, well, it's kind of like ascension by default. And I said, well, yeah, it kind of is, because everyone is included. And as we begin to awaken to the capacities that we have, then not only do we see the orbs, but we also see people who have passed over. We see beings who have never incarnated into a body, because all of the worlds are actually merged in one. It's our idea of this world that keeps us from seeing that.
It's almost a saying, you know, that everyone is saved, and yet many people of differing beliefs would say, rats, if everyone's saved, then that means that the person I told who was going to hell isn't going to hell.
Exactly.
Sort of along those lines.
Exactly, yes.
Now, I would have to say, I've seen pictures, and a skeptic would say, oh, you know, it would be a good idea if you would just clean your camera lens, because they look like water spots on the lens.
Right.
But you've actually seen them with the naked eye, and so have others.
Yes, yes, and I have pictures. In fact, the video I did that was the transmission, which I did last week, I superimposed some pictures over me so people could see the pictures of the orbs as they're listening to my voice that were sent to me from Australia. I asked permission to use the pictures, and the lady very nicely said yes. And she actually took the pictures in the snow. Mm. And you can see the difference between the orbs and the snow. And then this morning, another lady that I know just sent me a picture that I'm going to post soon, again, in the snow. And you can see the difference between this is the snow, this is an orb. You don't have to figure it out. It's obvious. It's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you can clean your camera lens. You can do whatever you want to do. It's still going to appear if it's going to appear. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have seen them with my naked eye, and I know a lot of other people who have too. There's a lady down in New Mexico that I'm in contact with who sees them on a regular basis, like every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly around her, and that's one of the reasons that she moved out of the environment she was in. She didn't have any support, so she went to someplace that is more supportive for her so that she can continue on with whatever work that she's going to do with them. So it isn't just about taking pictures of them.
Right.
And that's something that's important for people to know. And I know a lot of people want to see them. And my greatest advice is to stay with that desire, and you will. Remove the doubt that it's possible, so that your attention is placed on seeing them, and relax your eyesight and just watch for them, and you will see them, because mm-hmm. they're everywhere.
You know, interesting the way you phrase that, because I have conversations with my wife of different subjects, and she will say something to me, and then I'll respond with, well, and sort of in a negative way, basically saying, well, yeah, but if that doesn't happen, and so on and so forth. And she stops me and she says, well, why don't you start saying that it will happen? And what's really strange is that I've been involved in this realm for so many years, since I was 17 on my search and reading and talking with so many different people. And then I still have those stupid comments come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, mm-hmm. when will I make that shift? How do I get my DNA? How can I rewrite my DNA so that I am not speaking those kinds of words? Because, again, we go back to what you said before. Sound impacts mm-hmm. the coding of the DNA.
Mm-hmm. And just to answer your question for you, as well as for anybody else listening, mm-hmm. it's in slowing down so that you listen to yourself getting ready to speak the words before you speak them. It's a habit. We're in a habit, and it's a supported habit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you turn on television, whether it's a comedy, a program, a movie, or the news, you don't see anybody saying anything that's very uplifting, usually. Usually it is extremely frightening, warning, scary, terrifying, and we have created this world. We can just create it and create something different. And so what is supported is fear.
Mm, okay.
And when you say, well, if it doesn't happen, what you're doing is hedging your bet. You're saying, okay, I want this to happen, but my logical mind, supported by the fear that's in the mass consciousness, is saying that it might not. So I'll just kind of get myself ready so I won't be too disappointed in case it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, I give my wife an enormous amount of credit, and I believe personally that if a man in particular, because men are 99% of the time in their logical brain, mm-hmm. if a man who is in relationship with a woman, no matter where that relationship is, and doesn't listen to her, he's a bigger idiot.
Hallelujah. Yeah, good for you, Richard.
You know? And I'll be perfectly honest and say that I don't always heed my own advice, and I end up paying for it in the long run. So it's something that's extremely important. But let me ask you regarding these light orbs, what kind of sensation or feeling do you have when they are about, when they were about you?
Joy. That's the easiest answer to that. It's not like some mystical, sacred moment where I'm transported to the seventh heaven. I simply feel happy. I feel relaxed. I feel joyful, at peace. And I usually do feel like that, but it's a heightened sense of that. So it's been, and when I, because I do light orb transmission readings for people, like people pay me to do that, to transmit information for them, and it's so much fun. I mean, I'm a junkie. I just love it because it feels so good.
All right.
To just connect with them and then let go.
All right. Well, let me ask you, the next question would be, is that something that we might be able to do now to open up to the listeners?
Provided that I don't want to answer anyone's personal questions. I won't do that over the air.
Okay, so what types of questions would you receive or would the orbs receive?
I don't know. I just have to ask them if they want to talk. And,
Okay. Well, while you're going through that process, while you're doing so, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let our listeners know. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We are talking with Tony Elizabeth Sarah. She is the author of The Call, Awakening the Angelic Human, and the accompanying CD is DNA Reawakening, which will give you the tones and the words and the other elements that will help to awaken that part of you. And as we've kind of said here in the program, begin the process of writing new coding into the DNA that hasn't been written on yet, which is rather interesting. It kind of gives the idea of not exactly a clean slate, but it's certainly, you know, cleaning the old slate. But it's just like, oh, my gosh, we have a bigger slate and it hasn't been used yet. How interesting. And who knows what that could manifest. So what we're going to do is basically find out if it's possible. If it is, if the orbs are willing, we will open up the phone lines. We have another 30 minutes or so on the program to take your phone calls if that is possible. And, Tony, are we in a place where we have that answer yet?
Yes, they're absolutely happy to do that if somebody wants to call in and ask questions. When I say I want to answer personal questions, I don't want somebody to ask me, you know, should I divorce my husband? I'm not going to get involved in those kind of things. But if somebody just wants to call and ask a question of the orb, they'd be happy to answer, absolutely.
Okay. Well, the number here is 879-5478. That's 879-5478 here in the Santa Barbara area, 805-879-5478. Feel free to give us a call right now. We will take your call and let you speak to Tony, and she will ask your question of the orbs and give you the corresponding answer to that. How long have you been in communication with and communing with, shall we say, the orbs?
Somewhere around 1998 or 9 in there.
So just about 9 or 10 years.
Right. I came upon them on the Internet. As you do, you know, when you're looking for one thing and you end up in some other website and you can't remember how you got there, where there was a fellow talking about having seen these orbs and that the orbs told him that they would come to him whenever he called them. And I thought, well, that's interesting. If they'll do it for him, I'm sure they'll do it for somebody else. I think I'll give it a try. And so I did a meditation and I asked for the orbs to come. And in my mind's eye, was inside my meditative state, I saw three orbs. And they began to give me information that was not something I already knew. I do a lot of research in quantum physics, and it was about quantum physics and how the universe runs, but I knew they were words that I did not know at the time. So I knew that wasn't me. And that lasted about an hour. And so when I was finished, I said basically, thank you so much, that was wonderful, goodbye. And they said, oh, no, no, not goodbye. Once we are here for you, then we are always here for you. So we're not gone, and we won't be gone. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's all right. And I just went about my merry way, and then I started to see them with my physical eyes in my house, being big orbs. It wasn't like maybe it was a flit of light. It was a huge orb in the room moving slowly, and there it is. And there's no other way that it could have been a different light. So I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And I really didn't do too much about it for a long time. And then in 2004, I was at La Push, which is Indian reservation on the Olympic Peninsula on the Pacific Ocean that I absolutely love. There's a resort there that they've built that's just lovely. And I was on the beach, and the orbs were everywhere. It was like you couldn't move without being surrounded by orbs. And I asked them why they were there, and there was such a proliferation of them. And they said, "We're trying to get your attention." And I said, "Well, you've got it. What do you want?" And they said, "We want you to speak for us. We want you to transmit information for us." And I said, "Okay. I need to know more about you. I need to know what you are, because people are going to ask me that." And that's when they said, "We're the guardians of your soul." So I put that on my webpage, and I said, "I'm, you know, going to start offering light orb transmissions," you know, really not knowing what was going to happen when I did that until I got going with it. And I got an email from a woman in British Columbia who said, "You have brought me peace." And that was basically all she said. So I emailed her back, and I was happy that I'd brought her peace, but how did I do that? And so she said that she had seen this piece on my website about the guardians of the soul, and her story was that she had basically two children. It was kind of like having two families, an older son and then a really young son. And the older son had left home, and then he came back to die. And when he was there, the younger son changed and became really a much happier child, very much at peace, loved it when his big brother was there. And when his big brother wasn't there, he was a little bit irascible and he was hard to deal with. So the big brother dies, and the day after he died, she said, "Look at this," and she sent me these pictures. And after he died, there was this enormous, and it's huge, orb around the younger son in all of the pictures she took over like a two-year period. And she said, "This has got to be Nick, because those pictures were, that orb wasn't there before he died. I have pictures of my son without those, and now all of a sudden it's there." Then people started telling her, people who knew the family, telling her that Nick had come to them and had helped them through this and helped them through that. And she said, "He said to me before he died, the day before he died, he said, 'Mom, I have to go now. I am to become a guardian of the soul.'" And she said, "I didn't know what that meant." And she said, "You put all the pieces together for me." And I said, "Well, the orbs did, because I didn't know that either." So that put me on notice that not only are they conscious beings, but that we have the capacity to take on the form that they're using, because it's just a form they're using. It doesn't mean that that is what they are. They're using a form so we can see them. We have the capacity to take on that form when we leave the body.
And in essence, that's really all there is. In that context, we can take on pretty much any form that we want. Right now, most of us who are listening to the program have taken on a human form.
Right.
But the body is nothing more than a vehicle, just like any car. You don't stay in the same car your entire lifetime, except on rare instances. And those individuals would be considered, I think, more along the lines of avatars and so forth, to use the particular vernacular. But, you know, I've already been through four or five cars as it is in the last 10 or 15 years.
The vehicle wears out.
And it does, because I buy old ones.
Right.
And sometimes that is what happens, too. We will come into this world, into a vehicle. Usually, the purpose, of course, is to experience and learn some lessons, that type of thing. And we're not here long.
No, we're not. Life is so short.
I don't know where this question came from, but let me ask you about walk-ins.
Yes. It's interesting, because that was the first thing that came into my mind when you were talking about vehicles, was walk-ins, and we're on the same wavelength.
Well, you were talking there about that whole thing, too, and for some reason, all of a sudden, walk-ins. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? How does that relate? Okay. All right,
okay,
I'll put
so
it.
Here we are.
Okay, Tony, walk-ins. Deal with it.
Walk-ins are, as I like to say, all over the map. Most people, when they think of walk-ins, and I know many, and I work with them, and people see it as a phenomena, and it's no more of a phenomena than being born is, which is a lovely experience, and yet it's another way of coming into this planet. So most people see walk-ins as someone whose body has been taken over by another quote-unquote entity, another being. Well, yes and no. First of all, it's always by agreement. There is no takeover. Secondly, sometimes, and most often, this is what I have seen, is that it is another aspect of our own soul fabric, another aspect of ourselves. So if you, what I'd like to say is if you envision your soul, or whatever you want to call the allness of you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what everybody's belief systems are. And that is a great big carpet in a room. And every tuft in that carpet is an aspect of you, be a lifetime, an aspect, however you want to see it. One of those tufts is Richard. One of those tufts for me is Tony. And we have access to all of the other tufts in the carpet. Well, if one of the other tufts came along and said, I'm now going to use the space where Richard is, then that would be a walk-in experience where another aspect of you comes and uses this body. So usually, not always, but usually that's a very graceful because it is something that you have access to anyway. If another entity comes into the body and simply, you know, by agreement, begins to use it, very often that being who uses the body has not been on this planet before. And the person who has agreed to let the body be used sometimes has to relearn. I worked with one lady who literally did not know how to feed herself or tie her shoes. They had to learn everything from the ground up because that being who was now operating the vehicle, driving the car, didn't know how to drive yet. Hmm. So it can go from that extreme to the gracefulness of saying, yes, another aspect of my soul has come in. I'm different. People change their physical face. They change their habits. They change the way they act. People sometimes don't know them. If they're in relationship, the relationship sometimes breaks up because the other person now doesn't love this new being the same way. And there's a lot of different ways that it happens. And the reason it usually happens is because the being who has taken over the body or the aspect that has taken over the body has a message that needs to be delivered, and an agreement has been made that it will be delivered this way. So if we move outside of judgment about whether this is, quote, right or wrong, or whether we're going to lose control, then we can accept this occurring. It's our need to control what happens that makes people fear it or feel that it could be a negative experience. It
brings up the comment that I've heard and I make on occasion as well. Stop trying to control the process and be part of the process.
Exactly.
That makes the biggest difference of all.
It does. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to encourage our listeners to give us a call at 879-5478, 879-5478. I want you to continue to elaborate on that.
Well, one of the things that I like to talk about a lot, because a lot of the things that I discuss and a lot of the work I do with people scares them. And I tell people up front, I'm probably going to scare you with something because I don't really work in a world that has very many boundaries. For me, it's all acceptable. Whatever it is, I'll work with it. And what we need to remember is that what we believe is true. If it was really the truth, the universal truth, everyone would know it. There is no universal truth. Otherwise, everyone would be operating from that aspect. What is true for me in the state of Washington in United States of America is not true for someone living in Cairo, Egypt. So all of our truths and our beliefs are relative based on our religion, our government, our raising, our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So if we move outside of all of those belief systems, and that's my very favorite workshop that I do is working with belief systems and just literally disintegrating them, then we can say, all right, if there's a vehicle that is present on this planet and I've made an agreement with some other being to use this, great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for it. And if I can't figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do, then let me find somebody to assist me.
Okay.
And that's where I really like to help people because I don't care what they say. I don't care how far out it is. I'll just go with them, and we'll see where it's going to take us.
Exactly. Well, let's see where it'll take us with Sharon. She's on the line and has a question for you. Sharon?
Okay. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Wonderful, Sharon. Hello.
I'm doing well, too. I have my question is, do the orbs have a message or anything that they would like me to know from them?
Silence. It would be good if you spent more time with the silence. You do a bit now and then, you see, but you cannot hear the messages of your heart the way they wish to be spoken if you do not take some time. So we would say this, that you take time within your life, and we do not care when it is. It can be morning, noon, or night. And find a place for yourself in your home, outside, anything that is comfortable for you, and do it every day. Sit there, because we wish that we could speak with you in the way we are speaking through the transmitter now. We are feeling you in her heart, that your heart is so open. It is in the very vibration of your voice that your heart is so open to receiving and to make time in the day to receive that which is coming to you. It is going to open doors for you that you have never seen. It is going to open doors in ways that you have not even experienced before, because you have not been in this time and place before. So we would ask you to do that. And if you will do that, you will be not only hearing us, but you will be seeing us as well.
Okay, Sharon?
Yeah, thank you very much, Tony.
Oh,
and
you're welcome.
You
my gosh, what a beautiful,
well, thank you.
Oh, my heart.
Well, yeah, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And
thank
we certainly,
you very much.
We certainly hope that you will continue listening. Yes, go ahead.
I will continue listening. I enjoy your show very much, Richard. And I'm curious if you'll be giving information over the air on how to, an email, a website for Tony.
Absolutely. It is Sacred Spaces, W-A, that's Sacred Spaces, W-A.com. You can also go to my website. We have a link on the, right now on the schedules page, but it will be on the radio show's page with her interview, the interview that we're doing right now.
Okay.
And there's a link to her website at richarddugan.com, and it'll be there as long as the website's there.
Richarddugan.com.
That's correct.
Okay. And what I heard you say for Tony, Sacred Spaces, WA.com.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you both very much.
And be sure to keep listening, because at the end of the program, we're going to let you know about this special event coming up next Saturday at 3.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye.
And that's, bye-bye.
And that's how easy it is if you'd like to speak with Tony and get some information and insight from the orbs. Certainly give us a call, 879-5478, 879-5478. We're going to be here for another 10 minutes or so, and we're going to continue talking with Tony. Let me put something forth in terms of what it is that we are doing here. New Paradigms for a New World is what Tell Me Your Stories is all about, and we're talking with Tony Elizabeth Seurat. She's the author of The Call, Awakening the Angelic Human, and the companion CD, DNA Reawakening. We certainly hope that you'll go to Sacred Spaces, WA, that's for Washington, .com, check it out. Tony, give us a little information on your background and how you became involved in all of this. Because, you know, as you described, the one individual who had to find support somewhere else from where she was living, were you always supported in all of this?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, my earliest memory is when I was 5. My father was killed in a hunting accident, and my mother came to me and she said, I had a sister. It was just a family of 4. My mother came to me and she said, "Your father is gone. He will not be coming back, and you are the father now." And though most people would say, "Huh?" all my little mind said was, "And so it begins." And I became like the male in the family, like take out the garbage, make sure the groceries get carried in, water the lawn, mow the lawn. And I look at 5-year-olds now and I think, my gosh, how did I accomplish that? But I remember doing it. And what my real awareness was not of this planet. My awareness has always been of more than one dimension at the same time. So to do all of these physical things just seemed like a sideline. And my attention was actually placed on my connection to Source, how I saw it at the time. So by the time I was 12, I had decided that being on Earth wasn't that much fun. No one could understand what I was talking about. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to a Catholic school. The nuns did not want to hear about my multidimensional life. And so I asked my mother if I could go into the Carmelite cloister. And the Carmelites at the time, when they say cloister, that's exactly what it was. You went behind the wall and you went behind a veil and you didn't see mankind again, period. And I thought, this would be perfect and I can just be in this other world and I don't have to be intermixing with all of these people who don't understand me. So the bishop said yes, that I could do that for the summer of my 12th year and that I could see if I liked it. So my mother, being a very smart woman, took my sister and me out to dinner and she said, Bishop Green has said yes, that you can enter the cloister for the summer. I was very excited. And meanwhile, I just wanted to let you know, I have bought 3 horses, and your sister and I will be riding horseback, and I'll just save your horse for you. Well, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse? And I said, well, we don't have, pasture. Where? Oh, that's okay. You know these people. You know, we know, and they have this farm, and they're out there, and it was true. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't have to go in the cloister. I mean, this was in Nevada, out in the desert. So I could ride horseback in the desert by myself, and I don't have to be with anybody. I can just commune that way. And so I didn't go in the cloister, and I did spend years riding horseback, and it was wonderful. And then in the late 60s, I moved to San Francisco, and time passed, and though I was kind of in the hippie era, I wasn't a street hippie. People go, oh, you lived in the, you know, did you live in the Haight-Ashbury? No. I was introduced to a non-denominational holy order called the Holy Order of Mans, which was based on Eastern mysticism and Catholicism mixed together. It was absolutely perfect for me. And so I entered this monastery, and I was there for 2 years. Within a year of being there, I was one of the master teachers within the order. It was exactly where I lived since I had conscious memory. They not only foundationed and confirmed what I knew, Master Paul said, I can take you farther if you're willing. And I was more than willing. So that was really the jumping off place for me from the standpoint of not feeling like I was the only person on the planet thinking these thoughts. And from that time, I've done my own work. I got a doctorate in metaphysics, and I did various things to get other credentials. But from the baseline was coming from knowing it and not having any confirmation of it to being confirmed in it and then being able to go forward from there. So a lot of people say, how did you get to be the way you are? Well, I came this way. It was prepackaged. And it was just a matter of finding a place for it on the planet, which now that people are becoming more and more awake, as you so well know, it's so much easier to talk about some of these things than it was, say, 40, 50 years ago. I'm 61, so I've been here for a little while. And now it's even people who are more conventional thinkers at least have been exposed to some of this.
Interesting. Well, I hate to break in. We have a caller, and it's Isabel. She has a question or two for you, and we're going to let her ask at least one of them. Isabel, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here, yes.
Go right ahead. This is Tony. And
I have a mundane. Can you hear me?
Hi, Isabel. Yes, I can hear you well.
Hi. I have a mundane question. I'm trying to decide if I should sell my house or keep it for financial reasons, and the reasons are that I want to gain money so that I can pursue a career in healing, which people have told me would be a good idea for me to do. But
so you think by keeping your house you're going to gain money?
I could either sell it and cash in and get equity, or I could keep it and rent it and perhaps have a place to live if the whole country falls apart at some time.
Okay. So you are saying that your healing is dependent upon, A, what the country does and about what your financial situation is, and your healing attributes have nothing to do with any of that. That is your logical mind, and it is fear that you are living in at the moment. So we are saying to you, first of all, do this. We want you, and you don't have to do it while we are speaking, but you can do it when you get off the telephone. We want you to go into that space in your heart, right where your heart is in your body, and we want you to put your attention there. And to be very, very quiet within yourself until that is the only place that you are and your mind has finally shut down a bit. And we want to ask you what you really want to do from that standpoint. Yes, we know the answer is going to be you want to do your healing arts, but we are talking about your house, not about what the country is going to do, because you see, the country could change tomorrow. It has been changing very rapidly as we speak. And you do not know. All you can see is what the portents are, and the portents are based on what mankind's mind is saying, not what is really happening in the universe. So we want you to ask your heart what it wants to do with that house. Do you want to stay in it? Do you want to go someplace else? Do you want to rent it? Do you want to sell it? And as you receive the feeling in your body, you will feel it. Then you move with that, because the healing that you are going to do is totally to the aside. The selling of the house, the keeping of the house has nothing to do with your healing. You could do your healing on the street corner. It has nothing to do with the house. Don't tie the two together. just allow yourself to find out what you really want to do with the house and then do your healing as a separate entity within your life.
Okay. And Isabel, is that helpful?
It was. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much for calling and keep listening. We're going to reveal the special event coming up next week, okay? And Tony, we're going to jump right now very quickly to Jeff, who has a quick question for you before we wrap up here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, my name is Jeff. And,
hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you doing? I've been dormant for like 8 years due to a car accident and had various back surgeries, and I'm kind of worried about my future and whether I'll be able to go back to work, and if I do go back to work, what would I do, or how do I do this, or any insight?
Well, first of all, we would like to say to you, we are so happy that you have been dormant, because dormant means you see that you are living in a world of all possibilities. So first of all, you want to get rid of, in your mind, you want to get rid of this fear that you do not know what to do and you won't be able to do it, because then you're going to create that for yourself. You know, the law of attraction, we talk about this a lot, and everyone on earth, all the humans are talking about this all the time. And what you want to do is get into a state of enjoying your dormancy. It's like being compost, you see. You are composting yourself so that you can grow a new you. So as you begin to feel the fullness of your healing, which is coming very quickly, feel the fullness of the healing within the body, you may ask yourself, what do I wish to do that I really want to do? Not what am I used to doing, not what kind of jobs do I usually do, what do I wish to do? And from that standpoint, you will know what comes next. Because it is not about going back to what you were doing. It is about something brand new that you are birthing now.
Is that helpful, Jeff?
Very much.
Okay.
And I thank you both very much.
Well, thank you for calling, and stay tuned. We're going to be letting you know about the special event next Saturday.
I will. Thank
okay.
you.
Tony, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a great pleasure to have you. We'd like to have you back on the show again to continue this conversation and to enlighten people on this particular, I'll call it method or modality, as I like to use that word, and just continue to assist people in breaking through some of those old belief systems, those old paradigms. I even want to get into a conversation with you about one of those classes in regards to that matter, but for the time being, again, it's just been a great pleasure, and I want to remind our listeners that her website is sacredspaceswa.com, sacredspaceswa.com. You can go to Richard Dugan, RichardDugan. My email address, I was got a phone call, someone wanting that, richard@richarddugan.com, Dugan.com. Her book is entitled The Call Awakening, The Angelic Human. The accompanying CD is DNA Reawakened. And again, Tony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Richard, very much.
And please stay on the line. I want to chat with you after the program here.
Sure, you bet.
I want to let our listeners know we have a special event coming up next Saturday, and I'm just almost beside myself. I have not jumped out of my skin as of yet, but it's an opportunity that made itself available, and we jumped at the opportunity. This because this radio program is going to be moving to another station and another time. Gee, I wonder what time that might be and when. Like 3:00 next Saturday afternoon, and it's 12:90 a.m. That's 12:90 a.m., and you'll also be able to listen to the program live on the Internet. I will have a Listen Live link on my website so that you'll be able to hear the program on the Internet. And I'm thankful for this radio station's opportunity to bring this program to you on a weekly basis, bringing you new paradigms for a new world, your world. It's been a great experience, and I'm looking forward to, who knows, maybe we'll simulcast on both stations one day. But for now, it's just been grand to be able to touch base with you folks and to communicate with you. Now, in that light, I'm going to tell you about next week's show, because it's something that I know many of you have enjoyed. So we have asked David Hawthorne, the Vedic astrologer, to join us next Saturday, 3 p.m. on 12:90 a.m. And you can also, as I said before, go to richarddugan.com and you can listen to the program live, and you'll still be able to listen to the programs. They'll be recorded and put up in the archives department, as it were, for the website. And we certainly hope that you will avail yourselves of that. Again, that's next Saturday, March the 22nd, 3 p.m. on 12:90 a.m. And be sure to check out the website, Richard Dugan. That's Dugan.com. Again, I thank you so much for joining us. We have more coming your way. Join us next Saturday at 3 p.m. Until then, much love to all, and have a great day.